Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Hard to believe it's only seven practices into training camp. It feels like we're much deeper into things than that. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Does it feel that way to you guys? That we're much further into camp than only a week?
I'm not the right guy to ask.
Paul felt that way day one.
Yeah, that's true. Good
point. I just like when the season starts, I want the games to be here.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. I hear you. The Patriots, though, had some good news regarding their health situation today. They had a few guys who missed some time that were back. Notably, Matthew Slater, special teams captain, who has been a spectator doing rehab work for the previous six practices, was in full pads today, doing a lot of gassers during practice and a lot more rehabbing, but he was in full pads. He's off
the traditional sort of step process. Pads are on.
Right.
You know, Dennard is still out there running around and not doing anything, and
right,
there's team action, doing extra sprints. But
I was hoping to see Dennard do a little bit more physically today.
Tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night in the stadium.
Hope so.
Or maybe next week in Washington.
I figured he had a couple of days to wait.
He'll be ready tomorrow.
Now.
Don't worry.
So Slater was back, and two guys who missed just the day of practice yesterday, Josh Boyce, wide receiver, and linebacker Chris White. Both of those guys were suited up again, back out there. So good news on that front. The rest of the attendance, Aaron Dobson, a spectator in shorts and a T-shirt again. Jamea Thomas, nowhere to be found. Tyler Gaffney, the kid that they picked up, obviously he's hurt. He's not going to be out there. Cameron Gordon, linebacker that Andy was pretty high on going into camp, his first day out, not out there, and not clear why. Hooman has missed a few, every practice this week, actually. Not to be seen. Deontay Skinner remains out. Brian Stork, who hurt himself the other day, he's still out. Chris Martin, Dominique Easley, and Jeremy Gallen round out the did not practice list, although, as has been the case, Easley was out there in shorts and a T-shirt for most of the practice.
Very minor.
Yeah.
Just update on Gallen. I don't know that it's been specifically reported what injury he has, but
Joe
Van Allen was certainly working on the back of his leg of some sort today. Gallen was laying on his stomach, and Van Allen was sort of stretching him and doing things. So it certainly looks like some sort of a leg ailment.
Lower body injury?
Lower body, as they would say in hockey.
Okay. Well, today's practice takeaway for me overall, guys, was I thought the defense really took it to the offense today, especially later
Hell
on.
Hell no, we won't go.
Yeah, they were vocal about it. They were really, I use the word taunting. I think they were taunting the offense in the team period, especially down in the goal line area where we saw close to our tent. We saw a lot of the action pretty much up close, and the defense got the better of the O today.
Yeah, they've been physical. They've been emotional. They've been energetic. Whether you want to give people credit for that, whether it's, we talked about on PFW in Progress, Jones and Hightower, whether Browner has brought a quote unquote swagger, blah, blah, blah. I think they've been flying around at a pretty decent rate out there. Certainly hasn't been perfect. Certainly they've given up completions and things, but you know, on the goal line today, I thought they were physical. There was one run to right at us that Ninkovich and McCourty came up and filled, and they got into the backfield and really pigpiled there, and then did their little "Hell no, we won't go" chant, which I still don't really understand. And they pump their fist when they do it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch. They were into it, and they would certainly got the better of it. I would agree with you guys, and the energy that they brought was infectious today. I mean, a guy like Gerard Mayo, who I mentioned on PFW in Progress, he's usually pretty quiet. He's the, you know, he's the cerebral guy. He's the guy that gets all the calls and watches all the film and knows what everybody has to do. Well, today he was like Chandler Jones out there dancing around and jumping on. I think Ninkovich was the first guy on the scene on a running play on that goal line drill that you talked about, Eric, and they were all just slapping him around, Ninkovich, and then Mayo came flying over the top of the pile. And
I like it.
So, yeah, a lot of energy nice and enthusiasm. Enthusiasm.
The likes of which, I'm sorry, Andy, the likes of which we haven't, at least I don't remember seeing since
not
last
like
year in Philly when Aqib Talib was going ballistic during the joint practice.
I'm a big believer that some of defense is energy and emotion and, you know, the
attitude.
Whole thing, running to the ball and all that, and that it can be contagious. I like to see this. You know, remember way back when Bill and the, I don't know if it was Football Life or one of those mic'd up things, you know, you made a play. Enjoy it. Mm. You worked hard to make that play. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. And I'm a big believer in that. And we see Seattle. They're a very swaggerish, kind of confident, loud group. And you bring Browner from there. And, you know, that's the reigning champ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like it. I'm all for it. Be have fun out there. Do your job. Don't, you know, don't go all Chris Canty on me and celebrate when, you know, plays didn't happen or bad plays. Mm-hmm. But enjoy it.
Offensively, we talked a little bit about, on PFW in Progress, the progression, or most of us would say lack thereof, of Brandon LaFell. Wide receiver, big target, big offensive acquisition in the offseason. I have been less than enthused about the way he's performed so far in camp. He's had some moments, but I think more often than not, he doesn't have moments, which is not what you're hoping for when you bring a guy in and at that kind of money.
But we need to remember, he missed the bulk of the spring.
Yes.
And we're only now 7 workouts in here.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing catch up a little bit. He's getting on the same page with the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. with the offense, with the plays. So I agree. I don't think he's looked very good. His hands have been too inconsistent. But we don't know what exactly is going through his head, if his head is spinning a little bit. And, you know, this is a guy that's been productive. You know, has caught 36 or more passes each of his 4 seasons, you know, right around 50 last year. So, you know, give him a little time to try to catch up here. And I just wonder if in week 2, you know, I'll say, oh, maybe it kind of clicked and now he's a little more comfortable. His timing is better. His routes are better. He's catching the ball.
I hope so because, you know, for us, we see so much of it. It's, like I said at the top of this podcast, it feels like we're a lot longer into this than 7 days.
It feels like he's a bust already.
Yeah, we haven't even had 1 preseason game yet.
Right.
And we're already drawing conclusions.
But that's also something that's beaten into us, you know, by Belichick. You know, there's only so much time. And
mm-hmm.
once you start playing catch up, you can't catch up.
You can't wait for the train. And that was like when he talks about when you miss a practice or two.
Right.
And, you know, that's, you know, it'd be interesting. It's going to be interesting because I wonder how much, Andy, your point is what he missed in the spring is what were the residual effect or just how much maybe the player is just not quite.
And I
as talented as maybe we had hoped.
Well, that's why I'm a little bit worried, Paul, because
that's why I'm worried.
From what I've seen, it doesn't look like he's way out of position. He's not getting yelled at for, you know, lining up wrong or what. I mean, there are even times when he looks like he's beating his man, he's just not finishing the play. And that worries me because that has nothing to do with playbook.
Yeah, it's the footwork. It's everything. It's the hands. And I mentioned a couple of times, he talked about the hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's dropping too many passes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a week. We'll wait. You know, 1 week from tonight, you know, we'll have a game.
Yeah, we have a game.
Like you guys said, I mean, it seems like we've been around longer than we have, but it's coming.
Yeah, and we still have a long way to go with the rest of this summer, too. The other side of the ball, and we have talked about it on previous podcasts, but I think, as Andy said on the radio show earlier today, the safety rotation next to Devin McCourty continues to be, I think, the biggest question mark / headline story for the defense. Because every day, really, for that kind of position, it's unprecedented. I mean, it's not like a running back committee, which we see quite a bit. Any day, any game, you
safety
can see a different starter. Safety by committee is really...
No communication necessary.
Right.
What do we want?
No, I know. That's what really worries me is that you have Revis, you have whether it's Browner / Dennard, one of those guys is going to be your main number two. You have McCourty. Then you have that guy. You don't want your last line of defense to be your weakest link. And if there are communication issues because every day you have a different guy out there, I think that could be problematic long term.
Every day. It's more like every snap.
Yeah.
I think Andy took reps today. Did you get a rep?
We're next up. I mean, it is I don't remember seeing something like this with the, you know, top unit or vying for top playing time, where we have seen, you know, it's McCourty, and then it's Patrick Chung, Tavon Wilson. You know, Nate Ebner has gotten a ton of reps, ton more than I expected.
And when we say reps, we're talking quality reps.
Oh, yeah. We're not just talking in a drill. Yeah. We're talking team reps, you know, hurry up offense, split fields, different things, reps with, you know, behind
significant
Gerard
players.
Mayo, behind, and, you know, today, you know, Logan Ryan, Kyle Arrington, pretty much everybody who is anywhere in the position of being thought of as a safety has taken reps at safety.
And I wonder if that's a product not only of the fact that they don't know
don't
who they
safety.
Want to play there, but also because they have so many corners now who are vying for that number two spot, what they're going to do with those other corners who they definitely might, you know, want to keep around, but how do we get him on the field? And I'm thinking specifically about Arrington and Logan Ryan, who
are your slot guys.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen a lot of Logan Ryan in the slot to open camp. That's sort of the perceived returning position for Kyle Arrington. They were both playing slot and safety today.
If they want both of them to be in the mix, do you move one of them?
At some point, don't you need a starting safety?
Well, yeah.
I mean, theoretically,
yeah.
Don't you need a guy that's going to be, you know, everybody can make fun of or hate Steve Gregory. He started, you know, 28 games the last 2 years. I mean, you had a starting safety. You didn't have to like him. He may not have been good, but you had a starting safety. I don't like that position being a position where you could go week to week and have to change, and that doesn't sound like a really great idea to me.
Now, maybe after the Washington game, the preseason opener, maybe we'll start to see fewer and fewer of those players getting reps, and maybe they'll start to winnow it down to maybe 3 guys.
Could be.
Or even fewer. It would be really troubling. If it doesn't, then I'm really going to be concerned, because now you're heading halfway into the preseason and you still don't have an answer there.
We'll see. I don't want to put the cart
can
before
it be,
the
Andy,
horse.
Can it be one of those positions where you just say it's the secondary and we're just going to take the best players and then we'll figure out how we're going to use them? So in other words, if what you said, you have Arrington and Ryan, you know, along with Dennard, Browner, and Revis, but you know, those guys, the fifth guy is better than the third guy at safety, so we're just going to keep all those guys. And maybe a Justin Green, another cornerback, or some of the kids that have been playing, Malcolm Butler, your boy Travis Hawkins, who's gotten some time at safety. Maybe they just say, we're just going to keep the best defensive backs.
Good. Well, I just like to see it work. Well, as you said, it's a position where communication and reliability are
communication
the utmost
would importance. Be important.
And I just hope, and I said to this, you know, it's looking like it could be a fatal flaw. You know, you look at your rebuilt secondary that you feel pretty good about. Now all of a sudden you look at this and you're like, wow, the back end, the middle of it, just the
I'm not going to be as fatalistic as that. I just can't see.
I'm not either, but I will.
No, I know, you're not, you're not predicting it.
In 3 weeks, if I'm still seeing this continuous rotation of musical chairs on a daily basis, then I'm going to say that's not good.
I just don't feel like a lot of teams are like, you know, a strong safety away from a title. And I just don't think of it as being, quote-unquote, that important.
I just think it's important to have someone.
Yeah, I worry about
But someone will be playing.
I worry about
they
the big play.
Might not play at a high level, but I don't think
No, but is someone playing?
Yeah, I think it's
someone.
In other words, you just want them to pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably
Poop
will
get
at
off
some
the pot
point.
And pick somebody and build a Now, we're
I just
not
feel
at
like
point.
even if it's a, you know, below-average play, even if the play is not as good as Gregory, I don't necessarily
but
look at that.
But that's how
as
I felt about Daron Harmon. I thought they had a plan. I thought they had a guy. And I was going to say.
I thought they had a plan.
No one loses. You're right. They're not going to lose because.
That's, you know.
But if they don't have a guy, I hate it.
It's like, you know.
So now you
we're
didn't
a
draft
weak at
anybody.
Right guard. That's
you didn't
cost
sign
us the
anybody,
Super Bowl.
And you don't have a guy. So did you have a plan at all? Or are we just throwing poop against the wall and seeing what sticks?
Yeah, it worked in 03. We cut Lawyer Malloy 5 days before the season. We wanted Antoine Harris to be the safety.
But you think
didn't work, and they won the Super Bowl.
You think the rest of this defense is as sure a thing as that was? Because
I don't.
When I start to
do
mix
I think
in
it's as do I think it's a sure
two
thing?
New starters
no,
in
but
the
I think potentially this defense can be pretty good.
Oh, I think there's all the potential in the world. I think there's the potential that it blows up in their faces.
But am I sure about it?
Like that defense, I thought was good.
I'm no less sure I was in 03 when the 03 started
across the board, and I thought you had reliable. Right now, I look at Jamie Collins as a starter, and the backup is, I don't know, you know, maybe James
They certainly
Anderson.
Had more experience at linebacker
I just,
with that team. They had a lot of experience.
I don't have enough faith in this
different
defense
kinds,
to say,
different kinds of defense.
Throw Paul Perillo out there, and the secondary will be fine.
Yeah, well, I'm throwing an NFL player out there.
Are
of
we?
Some sort. Yes.
Are we?
Yes.
Nate Ebner? Rugby Yates?
Would you be surprised if Nate Ebner is
less playing? Surprised by the day, the more reps he gets.
You're just being a little silly.
I'm sorry. All I have is to watch practice and see what transpires in front of me. He's getting a ton of reps in a group that's pretty highly thought
but
of.
But wouldn't you say he's gotten less reps than all the other guys that you mentioned?
Not in the last 2 days, no.
No, but I'm talking about the 7 days.
So he's trending
it's an
in
entire,
the... No, I wouldn't. Actually,
you think he's gotten more reps than Tavon Wilson even?
Within the last two days,
that's competitive. It's competitive.
With what he's gotten the last 2 days, I think yes.
Yeah, the last 2 days, yes. I'm talking about 7 days.
I know, but in the last
seven
2 days,
practices.
He's gotten a
yes,
buttload.
I agree with you. He's
so
gotten
you
a lot of reps. He got none in the first five. None.
Well, I don't think that's accurate.
None.
I don't think that's accurate at all. I think he got a sprinkling
of McCourty?
Reps. Yes.
I don't think he got a single one until yesterday.
Oh, I don't
with
think
McCourty.
So. I think he definitely
I think
did.
That's why it was so eyebrow-raising yesterday.
No, the
eyebrow-raising
was because he's now getting like a lot of the reps instead of one or two.
No, I
don't think anybody has gotten a ton of reps next to McCourty. I think they're all pretty close.
They haven't.
Now, Ryan and Arrington aren't close because they
started playing. They haven't gotten
but
anywhere near as much
in 2 days, they could be very much in the same mix if theirs goes on the Ebner roll.
I agree. On those, that one I
don't think anybody's gotten more than any other reps. I think they're all very similar.
I think Chung and Wilson have gotten
I think
more
Chung
than
has gotten a lot of reps. I definitely don't think Wilson.
Nah.
I do. I don't think he's been very good.
See, I don't know. I haven't seen any of them suck or be great, other than Ebner. I think Ebner has been pretty poor. I think I've seen a number of deep balls where he just couldn't get to where he needed to be.
Yeah.
Not really.
He doesn't have the range.
He's not very good. I see him getting torched with the other guys, even. So if you're not standing, like Malcolm Butler is this young, undrafted guy who's probably not going to make the team.
Pick six today.
When he plays with the other guys, he stands out. Now, when he gets his reps with the frontline guys, he gets abused a little bit.
Ebner stands out
Ebner,
with the frontline guys.
Ebner gets torched with the other guys. And then he's getting reps with, you know, with McCourty and just doesn't look like he belongs. Mm. That we can all agree on, I think.
The other name that I wanted to bring out on defense today was Will Smith, because he was at late in free agency, a guy that they at a position where a lot of us thought they were going to maybe make a move earlier in free agency with a more reliable name. But he was available late in the game. They picked him up. And so far, fellas, I haven't really seen anything from him that makes me say I'm not comparing him to Andre Carter, for instance, when they picked up Andre Carter in 2011 and Carter showed us almost right away, well, he's still got something left. I haven't really gotten that feeling yet from Will Smith.
I haven't seen much from Will Smith. I've seen a little bit in pre-practice, a little bit in one-on-ones, but in reality, Jake Beckett, I think, has sort of been ahead of him. Jake Beckett's been getting some reps in group drills. And yeah, that might be a case of last chance to show us if you got something.
Maybe.
But yeah, I haven't seen Will Smith do anything to stand out to say, okay, yeah, you got your rotational defensive end, pass rusher type. Now, he is coming back from an ACL, and he may not be quite there yet. I mean, he's out there and doing everything.
Yeah.
But who knows, buddy. Yeah, as of right now, it's, I'd say, incomplete on Will Smith, what I've seen from him.
And on the other side of the ball, back to the offense, we mentioned Hooman not having practiced all this week. That has given opportunities to guys like
DJ Williams.
DJ Williams and the rookie Justin Jones. Those guys have been getting a lot more reps than they probably would have.
Yep.
If Gronk and Hooman were healthy and to the point where they can be out there all the time. I still have not really, even though he's been getting those reps this week, I haven't seen too much that's made me go, wow, DJ Williams.
No. Unfortunately, no. I mean, he's every day he'll catch a ball or two. He was in a group today with the regulars, and he caught a ball, little five-yard out thing. Has none much to stand out. Justin Jones caught a touchdown in the red zone, dropped a touchdown in the red zone yesterday. Hasn't done all that much to stand out. Had a drop today in the middle of the field. I don't see anybody from that group behind Hooman who is destined for the roster.
Well, unless you count Devlin. I don't know where you put Devlin.
Well, Devlin's
at this
on
point.
The roster. Devlin's
I don't know where you put him, though, on the roster.
Jimmy's a good player. Jimmy's a good player. Going to play some fullback, some tight end, some special teams for us.
For us.
He's such a loser.
But other than that, yeah, that's your third tight end, James Devlin, or Josh Klein, who's been playing some jumbo package tight ends reps.
Yep. Special teams-wise, one thing I just wanted to point out.
That's going
to
do it for PFW in Progress, a two-hour show. How long are we going here?
What, are you going to leave?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
You know, we actually have work we have to do after we finish broadcasting.
So how long are we going here?
Well, we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna wrap it up now.
Wait, no, you can finish your special.
I will.
The gray Accord is already running and ready.
I just wanted to say
it's ready
to close out the whole argument we were having about the safeties. I noticed punt team was the special teams area of choice today, and Patrick Chung, who has played this role in the past, was getting a lot of reps as the personal protector. So if he has,
problem is Ebner gets those too.
He does.
That's the problem,
right? But today it was Chung getting those, so if it comes down to it, that's just something to keep in mind for roster spots later on down the line.
So the safety who's not very good at safety will indeed be protecting Ryan Allen when the regular season games come around.
That was the point I made to Fred.
Yeah, that's the point we're all trying to make. And tomorrow, folks, is the Hall of Fame induction for Ty Law. 4:30
start.
Night practice thereafter.
Season ticket members.
Only.
Well,
yeah. I don't want to promise anybody
no.
else.
But, and that's what they wrote on the release, so that's what I'm going with.
Season ticket members, you have your ticket, was put in your season ticket
packet. It's a ticketed event.
Yep.
It's a ticketed event. Paul Perillo will be there covering it.
And that's the last...
You're not staying with
no,
you?
I am. I'm
you don't have to.
That's the last one that's on the schedule as we have it right now before the team goes to Washington. That could obviously change, so check Patriots.com for the latest dates and times. But
or
until,
Mike Reese's blog.
But until next time, when we come back with another Patriots Training Camp podcast, I'm Eric, that's Paul, that's Andy. We'll see you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.